there's a constant seesawing between, quote unquote, good Asians and bad Asians in America when it comes to the history of their immigration, according to our next guest. Are Asians model immigrants, as they're sometimes portrayed, or are they a threat to America? Depends on the year, the political climate, and the eye of the beholder, says Erica Lee.
Erica is a professor of history at the University of Minnesota and the author of The Making of Asian America. She joins us now to talk about the immigration struggles of Asians in America and to look at the myths and realities about who Asian Americans are today. Erica, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
So the story of borders and political turmoil over immigration, it's an old story, and that goes for Asian Americans. And you say that they were the first undocumented immigrants. What was it like for the first groups of Asians to try to enter America?
Right. So Asians have been coming to the United States and to the Americas for centuries, but there was a great immigration debate in the mid-19th century, and it focused on Chinese immigration. And some of the arguments that we hear today about immigrants taking away jobs or not being able to assimilate into American society, or just that there's so many of them, those arguments were used in great force against Chinese immigrants. And as a result, we passed some of the very first restrictive immigration laws in our country's history, the Chinese exclusion laws in the 1880s. And because there was still so much demand for immigrant labor, but these laws prevented most Chinese from coming to the United States, Chinese did what many immigrants have done since then. They found other ways to come to the United States, including simply crossing what then was the unguarded border with Mexico, or using false documentation or even fraudulent identities. So yes, they were the country's very first undocumented immigrants.
And it sounds like there was quite an industry that was built up around getting Chinese people into America for Canadians, for lots of different ethnic groups.
There was a need for labor, but very few opportunities to come. And so there were coyotes or smugglers in the U.S.-Mexico borderlands who would help Chinese navigate the geography and come across the border. There were even some who coached Chinese on passing as Mexicans. So they would dress them in Mexican clothes, teach them a few words of Spanish, and then guide them through some of the areas that they knew the Border Patrol was not looking at.
So you write about that there was talk politically of a fence being insufficient to stem this flow of Chinese, and worry about the moral character of these people coming to America. How would you describe that reaction to Asians in the U.S.?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I think the stereotype that most Americans have of Asian Americans today are that they're the model minority, that they're the quote-unquote the good immigrants, the ones who are working hard and getting ahead and perhaps even acing the SATs. But go back a century and they essentially were the most despised immigrant group. They were the yellow peril. They were the ones who were causing another race problem in addition to African Americans. And all of those arguments about them not assimilating and just being a threat to the country were very widespread across the political spectrum, first with Chinese, and then it extended to other Asian groups that were coming over, Japanese, Koreans, Filipinos, and South Asians.
And so what was the turning point for the immigration policy?
The turning point really had to do a lot with our changing ideas about race, about immigration, but also our changing international relations. So World War II is this fascinating time when, on the one hand, anti-Asian sentiment has really peaked, and we have forcibly removed 120,000 Japanese Americans because we believe that they're loyal to Japan and not to the United States, even though most of them are citizens of the U.S. But at the same time, we're beginning to change our attitudes, our ideas about our new wartime allies of China, India, and the Philippines. And you start seeing in the newspapers this idea that that these immigrants, these are our friends. The Chinese are our friends. They're the good ones. And so the doors open a little bit, and by the 1960s, we do have a real reform in our immigration laws.
And that was the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, right?
It was. It's the last time that our country has passed comprehensive immigration reform, 50 years next month.
And it's interesting because you say that this was incredibly transformative. It transformed all levels of American society, and yet, at the time, it was underestimated. How come?
It was. You know, American lawmakers were still very concerned. So on the one hand, they agreed that to have a blatantly discriminatory immigration law, including laws that restricted Southern and Eastern Europeans and didn't let them come into the country on the same basis as those from Northern and Western Europe, that that was absolutely wrong and that it was an embarrassment in the eyes of the world. And at the time when we're trying to project the message that the United States and capitalism and democracy is better than communism, that this blatantly discriminatory policy was really hurting our international relations. And then the civil rights agenda and reform movements with the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act also prohibited discrimination in American life. So it was, on the one hand, a no-brainer and really an important transformation. But lawmakers were very cautious. They didn't want to open up the United States to floods of immigrants. And so they did place restrictions on immigration and specifically laid out preference categories so that we would welcome primarily those who had family already in the United States and those who had professional skills that the United States needed.
We're talking with Erica Lee right now, professor of history at the University of Minnesota. We're talking about her new book, The Making of Asian America, A History. And Erica, when you watch what's happening now with the Mexican border and this national debate over immigration, what parallels do you see?
There are a lot of parallels historically. So again, a lot of those arguments that were used against Asian immigrants in the early 20th century, we see repeated in relationship to Mexican immigration, and particularly immigration that is undocumented. The numbers for the Latino community, similar to the Asian community, have really been transformed with the 1965 Act, but in different ways. So while the laws really allowed in Asian immigrants with family ties and professional skills, the law also placed restrictions for the very first time on the number of immigrants coming in from the Western Hemisphere. And the backlog of immigrant visas for countries like Mexico that had much more opportunities to come in prior to 1965 has just grown and grown. And that is one of the reasons why we have increased undocumented immigration in the past 50 years.
Now, fast forwarding to today, Asian Americans are sometimes held up, as you say, as model immigrants. They've been portrayed as highly educated, as wealthier, sometimes even happier than other people. What do you make when you hear that kind of statement?
It is really popular in the press. It also mirrors some of the reports about the rise of Asia as well. So on the one hand, it is, one could argue it's a flattering portrait, certainly. It's seemingly better to be the good model rather than the bad invading immigrant threat. But there's a couple of problems with this idea. And one is that the model minority is highly inaccurate. The Asian American community is really diverse. It makes up 24 different ethnic groups. Some have been in this country for seven generations. Some have recently arrived. They come with different skills. And so we know that Asian Americans are really represented on both extremes of the economic scale. Some are doing quite well, but others struggle in generational poverty. And it's really looking at the data in a broad way that makes it quite clear that the model minority stereotype really doesn't hold up to reality.
And what happens when that is the case, when the qualities of an entire group of people get oversimplified and reduced to a common denominator that might not be true for everybody?
One is that it creates divisions among different groups. It can also increase resentment. So we do see backlash against the idea that there are too many Asians in a certain school or too many Asian doctors, or that both Asian Americans and Asian countries are on the rise and that this is a threat to both Americans and to the U.S. So there are consequences. It also can translate into just the invisibility of Asian Americans and how they're sometimes passed over for social service programs or programs that do work on retention rates for undergraduate students, for example, because the idea is that Asians are doing fine. They don't need to have the tutoring or the mentoring. So it can be a real problem.
Erica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Erica Lee. She's a professor of history at the University of Minnesota. She joined us to talk about her new book. It's called The Making of Asian America.